Triple J.
Triple J.
Triple J.
Triple J. Mornings with Zan.
What's happening? What does it mean? Well, there's a couple of ways you can take it, really, and I guess, you know, there's the what's happening musically, you know, sound-wise, but also it's a little bit of a social comment, I guess, and that's the theme that I gave the various guests, given that there are quite a few guests on there, basically their take on what's happening, and whether it be politically, economically, socially, or personally. Some people kind of shied away from the more political and, you know, social commentary and sort of made a bit more personal comment. People like Diverse from Chicago, I thought, you know, he might have something political to say being, you know, a black American, but, you know, he chose a really personal angle on, you know, did two verses. I think one was relating to a friend of his that died and then his father leaving him at an early age. So, you know, it's been interpreted by the different guests in a lot of different ways, but my intention was to, you know, not being a vocalist myself, to make a bit of social comment.
Well, was there a common thread? I know that obviously there's a theme, a broad theme of what's happening, but when people came back to you with the lyrics and the kind of stories they wanted to tell you, did you come across any common rhetoric throughout the music and the collaborators?
Definitely in the different stories that people told, you know, they weren't all that far from each other in a lot of senses. But the funny thing that came across as the actual word that was repeated a few times was Molotov cocktail.
Really?
Yeah. And
That's a weird thing.
Yeah, and one of my friends said, maybe you should call the album Molotov Cocktail. I said, you know, I really like that, but I think people could really get the wrong idea. I think I was being really extreme and promoting some sort of, you know, violence in the streets, which, of course, I'm not.
Yeah. Well, okay, this is a train spotting tip, though, for everyone who's listening as we feature the album. Try and find how many times you can hear Molotov Cocktail
Molotov Cocktail.
In the different lyrics.
Like big L's on the corners of Harlem, man. My 2 feet creep on the borders of Parliament. My new weapon of choice is a Molotov. Kept in the boy's backpack, so you want a knowledge of it. Torn cloth for a lid. Soon as it gets lit, then, oh shit. Clear the streets.
Tell me about your side of things, the music making of the new Catalyst record.
Mm-hmm.
How many samples went into this record, do you think?
Ooh,
can you count them?
That's an interesting question. I really wouldn't have no idea, Zan. Yeah, many.
Many?
Many, yeah. Many little bits and pieces from here and there. And you know, I've had people play on it as well. Stu Hunter, who's a keyboard player that I've been doing a bit of work with, he plays on a couple of tunes as well. I do a lot more scratching on this record than I did on the last one, not because of any other reason than, you know, it's easy if it's a simple sort of cut. You know, I just thought I might as well do it myself, and getting Leroy around and bothering him with such menial tasks. But back to your original question, samples, it's really hard to say. I would just be guessing. 100? You know,
ballpark.
Pull
figure.
A number out of my hat.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
If we're talking about more vocal samples on the record and thinking about that idea of subversion,
mm-hmm.
and delivering a message, can you recall any samples that you took out of records that you reappropriated in, I guess, a more of a political way that really never began their life in that way at all when they were on the vinyl that you found them on?
Yeah, I think so. There's definitely those. I mean, there's some pretty political samples taken from people that were pretty political, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, Malcolm X and Angela Davis, and a lot of sort of black activists from the 60s and 70s, whose, you know, social comments are still ring so true today, as is, you know, often the case with music from that generation. You know, sometimes having a lot of that sort of era of music in my collection, I'm often dumbfounded putting records on and just thinking, right, that's exactly the problem we're facing right now. But in out of context, bring into context, I guess, you know, there's, you know, some comedians and things like that you know, say things, and you kind of take that little phrase and put it in front of something else, and all of a sudden, without giving away too much, you know, all of a sudden it's got a totally different context. So, you know, I think maybe the late, great Richard Pryor has a little spot on there that could be interpreted that way.
Very nice.
Yeah, or maybe it was just someone that I got to sound like Richard Pryor.
I got something to say, man.
Oh, there's a lot of loving to be thinking about. Instead of fighting, we couldn't be friends. Such little time to have so much fun in this world. Before we eventually reach the end.
Okay, let's talk about some of the guests. You've got the lion's share of great guests on this record. We've already heard Russielle Howe and Young Gun, Stephanie McKay, Matt McHugh from The Beautiful Girls, Jay Live, Katie Noonan from George, you mentioned Diverse, Adelita from Magic Dirt.
Yeah.
How did you track down these people? Are many of them friends of yours?
It's a bit of a mixture, really. People that I've met just throughout festival circuit and doing shows at various different gigs. I think I met Matt from The Beautiful Girls when I was doing the Jack Johnson support, and he came along and did a guest spot and, you know, said he had my album, liked the record, and, you know, I ended up doing a remix for their last record, and he recorded this track. Whereas, you know, someone like Katie Noonan, I just had always liked her work and just wanted to put my spin on what she did. A lot of the internationals, I've worked with Stephanie McKay before. I sort of co-wrote with Jeff from Portishead on her first record, and then she wanted to use the track we did on her record, and looks like I might sort of end up writing, you know, a lot of beds for her upcoming release. It's a variety of different ways. A couple of the acts were touring, and I think actually Diverse, I think, heard my music at the Beach Road in Sydney, and was with someone and said, "Oh, what's this playing?" And she actually knew me, so she sort of put us in contact.